Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, as you know, today we're going to talk about The Awakening.
That was a movie.
It was a movie. The Awakenings. It was a good movie.
I don't know whether I saw it or not. But
you don't know? Do you know what it was about? Do you remember what it was about? It had Robert De Niro and Robin Williams in it. Robin Williams was a physician researching Parkinson's.
And L-Dopa.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was a great movie.
It's about Oliver Sacks.
Yeah.
I have a book at home that was signed by Oliver Sacks.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He passed, right?
About 2 years ago.
He wrote the book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat.
I lent that book to a friend and she never gave it back.
She must have been a neuroscientist.
No. She was an editor.
it was a great book. And Oliver Sacks, he wrote several books.
He wrote
but they were
a bunch of books.
They were really good. Mm-hmm. But today we're going to talk about The Awakening, the sort of a peek as to how all of this technology stuff and this persuasive technology is affecting how some people respond to it and sort of what we're doing and maybe not doing about it.
Yeah, because what he does at the end of this article, he talks about the addictive potential, the obsessive qualities of these games. And then one of the groups he takes to task, and I'm not sure that it's done fairly, but it's an issue worth raising, is he takes to task the American Psychological Association for what he thinks is this inappropriate collusion, this marriage of psychological principles wedded to technology. Mm-hmm. And, that's we're weaponizing psychology. And what he says at the beginning of the article is, psychology should be a helping profession, but in this case, it's being used against children, because we're using psychological principles to, he says, to addict children to these technologies.
Right.
And so, what are we doing about it? So, at the end of the chapter, he says, "Okay, so now that we know that there is this effort to addict, what are we doing about it?"
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he begins with Jean.
Twinge.
It's a hard G or a soft G. But she's written a book called iGen.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, iGen is internet, stands for internet generation. And I was watching a funny movie last night called Mother's Day. And the grandmother says, "Well, take your iPhone and your iPad and whatever other eyes you have, and get so there's all these eyes, whatever other eyes you have." Internet generation children born after 1999,
right?
Who have only known a world with an internet. Everybody born before that remembers the world without an internet.
Mm-hmm.
Kids from 19 born after 1999 have only known the internet. Right. So she refers to them as iGen. And throughout her book, I've read her book, and throughout the book, she has she's an academician, so she has it's all very data-based.
Yeah.
And there are charts about the relationship of technology to mental health, essentially, is what she's talking about. And one of the points that she makes is that the average age at which a child gets a smartphone is 10.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that she's concerned about is as we introduce these technologies at younger and younger ages, the mental health disorders are also reducing to those same ages. That's what one of the issues she tries to make is mental health disorders are increasing, and there seems to be some correlation between the use of these technologies and mental health disorders, and also the age at which they're introduced. And so one of the statistics that Reed cites in this article is that the issue of self-injurious behavior,
mm-hmm.
especially cutting,
mm-hmm.
which was something that we typically saw in the teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing in younger and younger children. And one of the statistics she cites is that the average age at which a girl now gets a cell phone is 10. And with it, there has been an increase in cutting, a 19% increase in cutting in girls between the ages of 10 and 14. And this is one of the data points that she cites to say there seems to be some connection between mental health issues and digital media.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's correlational data.
It is.
But since 2009, mm-hmm. and these things were introduced into, mm-hmm. I think in 07 or 08, because we just had the 10th mm-hmm. anniversary of this, of yeah. the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's saying, since the introduction, we've noticed that self-injurious behavior is now being done by girls who are much younger
mm-hmm.
than typical.
Yeah. There's so many... You have to be so careful when you look at data like that. Because...
And she says that in
yeah,
her book.
Yeah. But what I always worry about is that, you know, a person that doesn't appreciate that right. takes that information and says, okay, so this is proof that, you know, technology
one
is...
One causes the other.
Yeah.
Right.
Technology is making kids right. mentally ill. Because we don't know if there would have been a lowering of the average age for that kind of stuff without technology.
That's right.
And we can't go back and do it again to see. And two, we also know that, you know, any activity that teenagers do, or many activities, many behaviors that teenagers do, we often see their somewhat younger siblings mimic.
Right.
And so we see a lot of those things drop in age as time goes by, to where, you know, and we see this most often, I think, with jokes mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. You see, you know, high schoolers, they start making a joke or puns or, you know, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden that those same things are being said in middle school.
Filtered down.
So, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be careful of some of that correlational data. But there is no doubt that technology is influencing the way in which children and teenagers process information. I think that it, you know, they expect information and answers mm-hmm. much faster
yes.
than their adult counterparts. And because of that, I think it makes kids less patient. It makes them more, you know, when we think about symptoms that we characterize as like ADHD and anxiety right. and some of that kind of stuff, those symptoms and those behaviors tend to be exaggerated a little bit more
exactly.
when you have the expectation that, you know, I should be able to get on my phone and within 5 seconds have the answer to that
mm-hmm.
question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then you're impatient right. and you're like, you know, what's happening?
I don't think any of us could tolerate dial-up anymore. Waiting for that connection. And sometimes you got it and sometimes you didn't.
Right.
I don't think any of us would tolerate that mm-hmm. speed. And we thought that was light speed
yeah.
when it first happened. We
yeah.
could be connected to the world in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And now, within seconds, we
yeah.
want that same thing.
Yeah.
But what Jean Twenge does in her book
mm-hmm.
is it's issue after issue after issue that this I generation is different.
Right.
And they drive later.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem right. to want to drive as soon. They don't go out as much
mm-hmm.
on weekends. They don't go to parties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything about them is different. They want to stay at home
mm-hmm.
Because their world is on these devices,
mm-hmm.
and they are different.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, many said many times that I have a daughter born in 95 and a daughter born in 99.
Mm-hmm.
They were born in different.
Yeah.
They're like different generations
yeah.
in the way they use their phones.
Mm-hmm.
The iGen daughter, the one born in 99, uses her phone just exactly. All the things that Twenge
yeah.
says in her book apply to my daughter
yeah.
born in 1999, don't apply to my daughter in 95.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it applies much more to my son born in 01
oh.
than it does to my daughter born in 98 even.
You notice a difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
mm-hmm.
a difference.
Yeah. Now, the other interesting point that he makes is that he said when these developers first set about building these mm-hmm. platforms and hardware and software, they were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went gung-ho.
Right.
They said, we know how to do this. And they just went up flat out and built all these things, Instagram and Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Now those same developers are fathers.
Yeah.
And they have children.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them have started to speak out,
mm-hmm.
not against them, but cautionary notes
right.
about be careful of this technology. We created it to be addictive.
Right.
So now that we have children, mm-hmm. we don't know that we want our children to
yeah.
be as connected as the software is designed to do.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of those developers who don't allow their kids right. to have some of the devices that they made.
Steven Jobs.
Right.
Didn't allow his kids to have an iPhone or an iPad.
Right.
They were younger.
Right.
But he said, no, our dinner tables, there were no devices.
Right.
We sat and had conversations.
Mm-hmm. You know, so. Yeah. So when you look at some of those kinds of factors, you know, you certainly have to think that,
right.
all right, so they know what they're doing, they know what they did,
yeah.
and so, you know, they're not allowing themselves to yeah. sort of fall prey to their own actions.
And we're talking about the big company, Tristan Harris, who mm-hmm. was one of the founders of Google,
mm-hmm.
Early founders of Google. He's one who's now cautioning parents.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Parker,
mm-hmm.
who was an early developer of Facebook,
mm-hmm.
he helped Mark Zuckerberg and the twins, the Winklevoss twins. I hadn't heard his name before, but he was one of the early developers of Facebook. Tony Fadell from Apple, he's the mm-hmm. father of the iPad.
Right.
Okay. So, and one of the guys, Mark Benioff, actually said that we should, and he's a developer, and he said, we should consider regulating media just as we regulate tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he went as far as to say that,
right.
that
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to build in. Now, Mark Zuckerberg, this is day two of his testimony on Capitol Hill,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about regulating Facebook
right.
because of its potential for abuse.
Right.
And so these are cautionary notes from the very designers of mm-hmm. these things. So I guess we should all heed,
right.
take note, and consider what they're saying.
Okay? Yeah, I think there's that, and, and I think that there's the, you know, as we've talked about all week, the idea that, you know, these things are designed in such a way to
right.
to create an effect to mm-hmm. influence your behavior. And so, you know, to be aware of that. I think that the argument about the APA, the American Psychological Association,
yeah,
I'm troubled by it because it's, if anything, it's neglect. I mean, the APA, they haven't come out and endorsed, you know, hey, you know, I think that persuasive right. technology is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can't help how psychological principles are used. I mean, the psychological principles have been used to influence people's behavior since before we knew they were psychological
mm-hmm.
principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just been around from the beginning.
Right.
So, you know, if
my grandmother used psychological principles, and she graduated from fourth or fifth grade.
Right.
She didn't know anything about psychology.
Right.
But she was using psychological principles to mm-hmm. discipline her children and her grandchildren.
Right. Right. So it doesn't, I don't believe that it falls on any particular group's shoulders to you know, sort of take the reins of combating any of this or anything like that. I think that we have to have these conversations, and I think that people have to be aware of the influence these things have on them and their children, and then make an informed decision about
right.
what you're going to allow.
Yeah, I think the American Psychological Association will, as the American Academy of Pediatrics and other organizations, they will come out eventually with position statements.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that, I'm sure they'll do that.
Right.
Just because they haven't yet,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that we should fault them for it.
Right.
But again, I don't think it's they're not. These are psychologists who are working for these tech companies
mm-hmm.
who are using these principles, but they didn't invent the principles to use for digital media.
Right.
The principles were already there.
Right.
They're just being applied to digital media. The problem is not psychological principles. The problem is the algorithms have become so powerful
right.
that you can, and the devices have become so fast that you can now target a particular individual.
And it's become so ingrained in our modern culture
sure.
that it influences the right. number of people that it influences. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, again, 30 years ago, you had a couple of television channels, and
right.
so
three,
you know, and then it was, you know, how many people are you going?
Right.
You're going to reach a lot of people, but
right.
you know,
yeah.
it's not the same as 24 hours of influence that's mm-hmm. just constantly.
Right. But I think that what you ought to know is you're not making as many decisions as you think you're making.
Right.
Particularly if you're a teenager
mm-hmm.
or a young adult. Most of what's coming into your computer is designed specifically to come into your computer for a specific reason.
Right.
So you don't have quite the control that you might think you have.
How great would it be to have a conversation about free will,
right? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because that's not happening anymore. The other thing, one of the things he does do is he does take Facebook to task, and he,
mm-hmm.
he targets Facebook in particular because Facebook has now developed a new program called Messenger Kids,
mm-hmm.
which is specifically designed, it's an app, media app, it's a social media app specifically designed for children as young as five.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is problematic because now you're really working with really vulnerable populations,
yeah.
and so he does take Facebook to task for that one.
Yeah, and the problem that I always have with that stuff is not that I'm always going to take the other side, but I will. The problem that I have with taking them to task with that is that we know that a lot of parents give their five-year-old
yeah.
phones to play on, tablets
right.
to play on, and those kinds of things. They give those things to their kids to do FaceTime
mm-hmm.
with a relative or to communicate text or whatever
right.
with a relative. And so is creating something like that that's, you know, maybe less sophisticated or, you know, more sophisticated to appear easier to be easier to use
right.
for a younger population because they're going to be using it anyways.
Not social media, though. It shouldn't be a social media app.
Well,
I mean, you want five-year-olds.
But a text message app is a social media app, technically.
Right.
FaceTime is a social media app, technically.
Right.
I mean, so anything could be considered a social media mm-hmm. app. I don't know.
But you design a social media app
mm-hmm.
particularly to appeal to five-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not texting appeals to everybody and can be used by a five-year-old. It is an app designed for a five-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
What are the ethical implications of that?
I would split up your words, what you said there a minute ago. Because it's not designed to a five-year-old. Because no five-year-old is going to say, hey, Mom, let's go get this app. The mom's going to say, hey, look, here's an app that my five-year-old can use.
Right.
No five-year-old is going to say, hey, let's get this app.
No.
So it's appealing to the parent to be able to use for the child.
But it's designed for the child.
For use by the child.
Right. Mm-hmm. Specifically yeah. designed for a five-year-old
yeah.
to become addicted.
That's
what Reed is saying.
That's
what Reed is saying.
That's
okay.
What,
and is there some ethical obligation that either Facebook or the psychologists have
mm-hmm.
when you design something? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But I think it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I know.
I have a hard time with the chicken or the egg.
Right.
You know?
Right. We had less of a problem with torture when
right.
psychologists were employed by the CIA
mm-hmm.
to say this is the most effective way to torture somebody
right.
and not kill them.
Right.
This is the most effective way to break somebody down. Yeah.
That's
that's an error of commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, a very different, I don't think you can really compare the two.
Yeah.
But you need to be aware. I think parents, I think everybody who uses these technologies needs to be aware that behind the scenes, behind the curtain, are these algorithms that are running all the time. Yeah. And you just need to be aware of that and decide how you and your family are going to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. There's a morality. You could almost write an entire book on the ethics of digital media.
Right.
I'm sure somebody has.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we refer to this podcast as The Awakening, because it is just the acknowledgement that, mm-hmm. you know, some of these media developers mm-hmm. have already taken the stand that, you know, hey, this isn't going to happen.
Right.
This isn't cool in my house.
Right.
But yeah, they're banking on all of us.
On you doing it.
doing that. So, right. you know, just be aware of that. And when you're making decisions for yourself and for your kids.
Right.
So, yeah. All right.
Very good.
That's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.